Hello and thanks for joining us once again for the Inspire, Create, and Shine podcast, where we discuss life, love, literature, and the arts from a Christian perspective. This is your host, Melanie D. from MelanieDTheAuthor.com. Stay tuned for our next episode. Hey y'all, it's Melanie coming to you again with another hopefully short word. Going to be talking to you today a little bit about the subject of the hour, or at least the subject of the hour as far as I'm concerned. And I think we all know this is, of course, this is Women's History Month, and this was my birthday month, and I got to celebrate and have a fabulous time with my loved ones. In fact, one of the highlights of my birthday is a lot of times I get to celebrate with my brother Jay, whose birthday is actually 5 days after mine. So we always, or not always, but every now and again, we try to link up and celebrate together. So that's what we did this year, and we had a great time. And so that left me in a great mood this month, celebrating that as well as Women's History Month. But anyway, this is also, which doesn't happen often, the month that we celebrate Resurrection Sunday, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. A lot of times it comes in April, but this time, and I don't know if it's because of the leap year or what it is, but this year, this year, it lands on March 31st. And so I just wanted to do a little talk on it as briefly as I can. If you are a Christian, and especially if you're a church goer, you probably have noticed that churches around the world, around Easter, Resurrection Sunday time, often do sermons and messages on what they call the last sayings of Jesus. I think it's seven of them that they often highlight, you know, where he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And he says, I thirst. And a few other things that he says while he's on the cross, on the way to his certain death, making that sacrifice willingly for the sins of the entire world. And so it's like, who wouldn't serve a God like this? We know that not just anyone will lay down their lives for you. The Bible even says that no greater love is there than this, that you would lay down your life for a friend. And that's exactly what he did. Anyways, I was saying, y'all, oftentimes preachers will preach on the last seven sayings of Christ when he was on the cross. And I noticed they always stop there. Now, we know that Resurrection Sunday is all about him rising from the dead. So death seems very final to us. You know, if we lose a loved one right now in this present age, we feel like that's the conclusion. For those who don't know Christ, that is, we know that there's life after this. There's life after death. But oftentimes we feel like, okay, when they die, that's the end of everything. And so by saying the seven last sayings of Christ on the cross, it's almost implying that that was the final words that he said. And then it was over. But no one seems to go and look at the actual final words that he said. Now, the words and the life and the ministry of Jesus Christ are found mostly in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And because those are four different disciples, they all have varying accounts, meaning that some of them mention some things that the other doesn't. And then there are some Gospels that say they all mention the same miracle the same way. But so when you're trying to find out what was the last thing that he really said, one disciple, Matthew, might say it one way. He might end on one word, and then Mark might say something else. And then Luke might say, this was the last thing. So you can't actually tell exactly what his last words were. But I think we all can agree on one of the final messages that he gave was the Great Commission. And now before I go there, I just want to highlight, because I was looking this thing up, I just wanted to see what God was, or Jesus was talking about. after he rose from the grave, because he told his disciples ahead of time, yes, I'm going to be betrayed. Yes, I'm going to be handed over to the Roman government. Yes, I'm going to be crucified. Yes, I'm going to die. But he said 3 days later, I would rise again. And so, I mean, they believed most of what he said, but I think they had a hard time really believing that one. But Peter was like, no, if he said it, then that's what's going to happen. He said he would rise again. So we need to believe him. He was on the earth for 40 days after his resurrection. So many people saw him. First, his disciples. He first showed himself to his disciples. I just wanted to highlight some of the things that he said once he rose from the grave. It's just a different perspective I wanted to share. So starting with Matthew, because there are four gospels, I just want to say what each of them said as some of the last words of Christ. So Matthew in chapter 28, verses 9 through 10 and verses 18 through 20, Jesus appears to some of his female disciples. I believe it was Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, I believe. When they came to the tomb, they saw that the stone was rolled back. And some angels had told them, or an angel told them, that he's not here. He's risen, like he said. And so they were weeping and they couldn't understand. They didn't understand what had happened. And then Jesus appeared to them himself. And he said to them, rejoice. There are different translations that say it differently. Some say greetings or hello. Some say rejoice. Some say all hail, like worship, it's a call to worship when he greets them for the first time. And they immediately bow down, take hold of his feet and worship him. And that reminds me, it makes me think of that image where Mary of Bethany, the woman with the alabaster box, where she bowed down before Christ in the home of, I believe, Simon. And she anointed his feet with oil. And she anointed his feet with oil and her tears. And she dried them, his feet, with her hair. And so that's what that image evokes in me when they say that those women, when he said all hail, oh, rejoice, that they saw him for the first time alive again, when they bowed down, took hold of his feet and worshiped him. The next thing he says there is, do not be afraid. He always wants to reassure us. This is something new to you. This is something unusual. This is something that you weren't. I mean, I told you it was going to occur, but you may not have been prepared for this, or it might have startled you to see me again alive because you thought I was dead and I was gone and that was it. But he said, don't be afraid, because I know this is a frightening thing. You've never seen a person who died come back to life and not be a ghost. This is a real living being in front of your face. So he says, go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. When the brothers met him there later in verses 18 through 20, he said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. He makes it clear who has the power. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, Jesus says. And then here comes the Great Commission in verse 19 and 20. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all creation. He says here, all nations, baptizing them in the name of Jesus, basically. Teaching them to observe all that I've taught you. And behold, he reassures them and says, I am with you always to the end of the age. So look at how he comforts us. God, I told you, Jesus is a man of love, a God of love, a spirit of love. His whole being is love. The Bible says that he is love. Look at what he did. I'm going to go recap Matthew. He greets them. He tells them not to be afraid. And then he tells the women to go and tell his other disciples about him. And he tells them to meet him in another city, Galilee. Then he lets them know that he has all the power now. I've reclaimed the authority in heaven and on earth. It all belongs to me. So y'all can rest assured that I got all power in my hands. And then he tells them, I want y'all to go out and do what y'all saw me do. go and recruit others, go and convert others, go and tell others about me. Do the same things you saw me do when I was walking the earth. And then he comforts them by saying, look, behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. He's letting them know, I'll never leave you. I know this is a big mission that I'm sending you on. It's a great commission. It's a great, great, great commission that I'm sending you on. But don't worry, I'm with you always to the end of the earth, to the end of the age, I'm sorry. So that's Matthew, what Matthew had to say. Next, we have the account of Mark in chapter 16, verses 15 through 18. He's saying the same thing here. He says to them, go into all the world, and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Don't leave no stone unturned, y'all. We got to get this gospel everywhere as far as we can send it. And so I love the beauty of the internet and the beauty of technology that allows us to really, truly reach the world in ways that we never could back in those days. You can say something on a live stream. You can say something on an online video. You can say something on television or on the internet that will go around the world. So when I see all these preachers popping up and different people ministering, I'm like, to God be the glory. As long as you're doing proclaiming the true gospel of Jesus Christ, it's like more power to it, because the world has got to know. Let's make sure that we're proclaiming the true gospel, and we ain't got nothing to worry about, and God will be glorified. Amen. So anyway, he tells them, go into all the world, proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Then he says, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And then he tells them the signs that will follow those who believe. He said, in my name, they'll cast out devils. They'll speak in new tongues. They'll pick up serpents and with their hands. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So he's basically saying those who believe, miracles will follow them. You know? So if you believe, you should have seen at least one of these things in your life. You should have seen tongues. You should have seen casting out demons, laying hands on the sick, coming in contact with things that are meant to kill you and not dying. Coming in contact with things that were sent to destroy you and you still standing. It's all of us who are alive right now, all of us who are alive and remain right now in the face of unbelievable turmoil, unbelievable storms that we face in our lives. We are a testament that Jesus is real and that we believe. Still standing. Amen. Next, we have Luke's account. And he has quite a bit of stuff that he's saying in chapter 24, the last chapter of Luke. He says a lot. Jesus is saying a lot here. He's speaking in verses, starting at verse 17, and he's speaking off and on all the way down to verse 49. So 17 through 49, read that in chapter 24, you'll see a whole lot of stuff. Okay, so Jesus' disciples are walking and talking, and they're talking about all the things that they've heard about the resurrection and the fact that his body is not there and Jesus dying. And they're discussing, you know, well, he did say he was going to rise. And so didn't he say he was going to rise in 3 days? And so, you know, they're talking about this among themselves. And Jesus walks up beside them and he says, what is this that you're talking about with each other as you walk? They didn't even recognize that this was him. He just proceeds to have a conversation with them. And so Jesus is asking them about the things that they're discussing. Like, what are you all talking about? And they're like, you must have been under a rock somewhere. You have to have heard about Jesus of Nazareth and the fact that he died and now his body is missing and all that type of stuff. And so Jesus is just playing along, basically. And then he says, what things? What things are you referring to? And so they proceed to tell him about how Jesus died. He was his disciples told them that he was resurrected, and the women among them saw him, and they went to the tomb and his body was not found, how they had seen the angels and all those things, just basically relaying to him what had happened. And so Jesus is like, well, don't y'all believe the story? He's like, y'all are so
It's foolish of you not to believe. You're foolish and slow of heart to believe, not to believe all that the prophets have spoken. He said, was it not necessary that Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? So he's wondering why they can't seem to believe the things that he told them would happen. And then he goes on to expound how the prophets, Moses and all the prophets before him, had been declaring his arrival long before he was born. So he's like, it's in the scriptures. So he goes down the line and breaks it down for them. They're still not aware that this is Jesus that they're talking to, though. So they want him to stay with them. And he's like, okay, I'll come in for a little while with you. So he acts like he's going to stay with them. He comes in as if he's going to eat with them. He sits down at the table like he did at the Last Supper. He takes bread and breaks it and blesses it like he did at the Passover or the Last Supper. He gave the bread to them. Then suddenly, I guess because he was doing the same act that he did before he died, suddenly they saw him for who he was. Their eyes were open and they recognized him. And at that very moment, he vanished from their sight. I don't know if it was a ghost like vanishing or if they looked one minute he was there and they looked the next minute he was gone. Somehow he was no longer there. So of course they're astonished and they go back to their other disciples and they're telling them everything that happened. And they're saying that, yes, he has arisen. We saw him, y'all. And they told him what had just happened there. As they were talking, here comes Jesus again. He appears to them where they were gathered together. And first thing he says to them is, peace be unto you. So he comes to them, he greets them with peace. Just like before, he was coming to them with words of comfort, words to calm their fears, words to tell them the instructions that he had and the plans that he had for them to do, the things he wanted them to carry out in his stead. Once again, they're startled and afraid because they're like, is this a ghost, an apparition? How did he just appear in the room? We didn't open the door for him. How did he appear here? So he always has to speak calm to their spirit. Peace be unto you. Why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your hearts? Then he says, see my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see that it's me. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have. So he was proving to them that it is I. I'm not a ghost. It is me in the flesh. I've come back from the dead. And then so he showed them his hands and his feet. They still were astonished, and it was hard for them to believe what they were seeing with their own eyes. Then he asked them, he shows them his humanity by asking them for something to eat. So they gave him some fish. He took it and he actually ate it. So it once again shows his humanity. It is Jesus returned in the flesh. Next, he relays to them some of the things that he had told them while he was still living the first time. How all the things that the prophets and Moses and the Psalms said about him were true and that he came to fulfill them all. So he expounds to them yet again, all of the disciples, those things that were found in the scriptures that proved that he was who he said he was. And he said, thus it is written that Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, he told them. And he says, behold, I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay here in Jerusalem until you are clothed with power from on high. So he keeps telling them that there's something coming, like I'm sending you out to do things in my stead, the same things that you saw me do, laying hands on the sick, casting out demons, speaking peace to people, and comforting those like I did. But it's going to take power from on high. So he's basically telling them, I'm not going to leave you here alone. Like I'm going back to my Father in heaven, but I'm going to leave something with you. I'm going to give you the power to allow you to be able to do those things. So fear not. So he walks with them. He led them to Bethany. He blessed them. And then he parted from them and ascended into heaven. So I'm going to do a recap before it's over. I'm just letting you know what each of these Gospels are saying. So that's Luke's account. The very last account was by John. He always has a slightly different account of how he tells the story. John speaks very much of the great majesty and power of Jesus Christ. And he says a lot of things like, I am this and I do this and I that, because he's talking about Jesus in the first person proclaiming his divinity and his majesty often in those verses. So let me go to John's account. Okay, so John's account is in chapter 21. That's the last chapter of the book of John. He starts from verses 5 through 6, what Jesus is saying. He goes to verse 10, verse 12, verse 13, 15 through 19, and then verse 22. So he's saying quite a bit here. So let's go through what Jesus is saying, his last words on earth from John 21, John's account. So Jesus says to them, Jesus comes in on the scene kind of the same way he did in Luke 24. Some of his disciples were together. Simon Peter decides to go fishing. And so they said they'll go with him. With him now is Thomas, Nathanael, or who's also known as Bartholomew, I believe, the sons of Zebedee, James and John, and two other disciples who they didn't name were together with Peter. So while they're fishing, Jesus is standing on the shore, yet they still did not know that this was him. So Jesus says to them from a distance, children, do you have any fish? And they said, no. He likes to bring up things that he did in his while he was alive to let them know who he is. So he's doing little things to show himself to them and reveal himself to them, that this is the same man that you walked and talked with before I died and before I was resurrected, so it can remind them of who he is. So here he goes. He's bringing this familiar scene back to us. Verse 5, he says, do you have any fish? And they're like, no. He said to them, cast your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. Same thing he said to Peter before. So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of the fish. It was so much fish, they couldn't pull it in. So then John says to Peter, it is the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment and threw himself into the sea. And he's rushing to the shore. He wants to see Jesus while the other disciples are pulling the net to the side of the boat, to the shore in the boat. When they all got to the land, they saw Jesus sitting there with a fire, grilling some fish on the fire. He's like, so why is he asking them, did they have fish? He's already got fish. So apparently he's already caught his catch for the day. But yet he wanted to show them that I can still speak and cause you all to gather an abundance of fish as well. Still making the correlation like he did when he was alive about how he will make them fishers of men. So here he goes again. He says here in verse 10, bring some of the fish that you just caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net did not tear. Jesus said to them in verse 12, come and have breakfast. None of them said, who is he? Because they knew now that this was the Lord, because he had done the same miracle before. It was just a fresh reminder of what he had done and who he was. So he has subtle ways of reminding them, this is the same Jesus y'all know. I'm just letting y'all know it's me. So in verse 15, he goes in a different conversation piece here, a different dialogue between him and Simon Peter. He says, after they had finished eating, he says to, so again, his humanity, he's sitting there eating. He's showing them it's me back in the flesh. I'm not a ghost. I'm a living, breathing human being resurrected from the dead. So he says to Simon Peter, do you love me more than these? He said, and Peter said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. So Jesus says to him, feed my lambs. Jesus says to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, tend my sheep. He says to Simon Peter the third time, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him, He said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. So he says first, feed my lambs, then tend my sheep, and then feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, Jesus says, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, You will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. And by this, Jesus was showing the kind of death that Peter would die one day for the sake of the gospel. And after this, he tells Peter, just like he did before when he first met Peter, he says, follow me. And of course, Peter willingly agrees to follow him. So he knows it's like God is showing him and Jesus is showing him, you're going to suffer persecution. You're going to die for the sake of the gospel, but I still want you to follow me. Will you follow me? Will you feed my sheep? Do you love me enough to do this work for me? And Peter willingly and obediently agrees, yes, Lord, I'll follow you. Then Peter turns his attention to John and asks, well, Lord, what about him? What about John? And he asked Jesus, what's the work that you have for John to do? And Jesus said, if it's my will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? I want you to follow me. Just worry about your work. I want you to follow me. Don't worry about what John is doing, what your brother is doing. You just do what I told you to do. So Jesus once again was alluding to the fact that John would not die. And truth be told, according to scripture, John, even though he was persecuted and suffered near-death experiences, he did not die. He was the one recording this book of John, and he continued to record the book of Revelation on the Isle of Patmos, and that's where he finished out the rest of his days. There were many other things Jesus did that were not recorded in the Bible, but that's where it ends off. So if we do a bit of a recap, we can see what Jesus was concerned with. His true last words on the earth went something like this. Hello, he greeted them. He greeted them and he immediately wanted to calm their fears. So he's saying hello and he's telling them to rejoice, and they worship him right away. Then he's telling them, fear not, it is I. You don't have to be afraid. It is really me. I said I was going to come back in 3 days, and it's I. So he's confirming who he is to them. Yes, I said I would die. Yes, I said I would rise again on the third day, and that's exactly what I did. He showed them examples of the fact that this is still me. This is the same Jesus you knew before I died and before I was resurrected. He showed the example of Peter with the fish and how he made him catch a lot of fish. He also showed the example of when he broke the bread at the Last Supper. And, you know, that was their last meal with him before he was crucified. But then he was very intent on letting them know that I have a mission for you now. I'm about to return back to my Father, but there's something I want you to do. He's like, I do want you to follow me, but there's a price you're going to have to pay. I've called you, but it's not going to stop with you. I want to make you fishers of men, and I want you to go into all the world, and I want you to preach the gospel that I've been preaching to you all this time. Everything that I've taught you, I want you to teach others. I want you to recruit others and fish for other men that you can bring into the fold, because he wants to save as many people as he can before his second return. So he's giving them the Great Commission. He's telling them, y'all, you're chosen. You're chosen for such a time as this, and I have an awesome work for you to do. And then he told them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So it's like, you can trust me. I have all power now. So don't be afraid to walk with me. And don't be afraid to do what I've commanded you to do, because all power belongs to me in heaven and in earth. And then he tells them, not only go into all the world and preach the gospel, but he says, you're going to be able to do all the things that you saw me do. All those amazing miracles that you saw me do, you're going to be able to do the same thing. And he says, don't fear. Understand that I'm going to give you power to do this. There are going to be signs that follow you. There are going to be miraculous works that follow you because you are my chosen. And then he expounds to them about himself from scriptures, from the prophetic books, what prophets of old have said about him and his arrival. So he's making it very clear, I am who I said I was. You can be safe and secure in knowing that I am who I said I was. And then every time they doubted, he showed them, look at my hands, look at my feet. It is me. I'm not a spirit. I'm not a ghost. I'm not a figment of your imagination. This is not just a vision you're seeing. This is me in the flesh and bones. And to show that he was human still, he ate with them. He sat with them. And he expounded the scriptures to them. And then he just kept telling them, I told you about these things before I died. So it's okay. Believe me now. And the final thing of note is the part that he kept saying to Peter. Because like he said, Peter was the chosen one. Called Peter the rock. His rock that he was going to build his church upon, and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. That's why he kept asking Peter, do you love me more than these? How much do you love me? He wanted to test his love. So that's what he wants. He's saying that to us today. How much do you love me? How much do you love me? Are you willing to feed my sheep? Are you willing to feed my people? Are you willing to tell others about me? Are you willing to spread the word, spread the gospel about who I am and my message to the world? Are you willing to share and spread the love of God wherever you go to as many people as you can? He's saying, prove it then. I've proven to you who I am. I told you what I was going to do and I did it. The prophet spoke of me thousands of years ago, and all these things have come to pass and been fulfilled through me. So now, will you do for me what I've commanded you? And then he tells them about this great thing that's coming. And for those who don't know, it has to do with the day of Pentecost, when they're all waiting for him in Jerusalem in the upper room. He's basically giving them the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is basically a comforter, and his Holy Spirit, which is going to stay with them when he returns to heaven to sit on the right hand of the Father. He's saying, I won't leave you by yourself. I'm going to give you my Holy Spirit, and that's how you're going to be able to carry forth the Great Commission. That's how you're going to be able to do the things that I have given for you to do. So just be mindful of that as we close out the month of March this year, since that's when Resurrection Sunday and Easter is going to come, to remember the true last words of Jesus in the flesh when he walked this earth. Now, God is still speaking today. He's still speaking to us through his word. He's still speaking to us, rhema words as well, prophetic words. He still speaks to us in prayer, speaks to us through song, speaks to us in so many ways. So there are rhema words that are not just the written word, but he speaks to us dynamically in other ways as well. But I wanted to highlight here what he said, what it says in scripture, that he said the last things that he said before he left this earth and ascended into heaven, before he sent his Holy Spirit down here on the earth for his disciples and all of us, who, as many of us as would believe today, who ask for his Holy Spirit to come into our hearts and to come into our lives, and so we can get to know Jesus and be able to do the great things that he has for us to do. So we know how much Jesus loves us. He was willing to die, to obey his Father all the way to the point of death, all the way to the cross, that this entire world might be saved if they so choose. If they choose to make him Lord and Savior of their lives, he did the work that he said he was going to do. He did it once and for all. He paid the price for every last one of our sins. And that all we got to do is accept him and ask him to come in our lives, and we can have the gift of eternal life, eternal salvation, by just asking him, getting to know him. So he's proven his love. He sacrificed so much. He proved his love. And so he's saying to us today, will you love me? Do you love me enough to do what I asked of you? Do you love me enough to feed my sheep? Do you love me enough to obey my commandments, which is to love me above all and to love my people enough to tell them about the gospel and my message of peace and of love, and tell them about my kingdom? Think about that this month as we celebrate all the amazing women in Women's History Month, as we celebrate Resurrection Sunday that's coming near the end of the month. As we do all these things, remember the Great Commission. Remember the last sayings of Jesus on the cross and after he rose again from the grave. He said some powerful things. He gave us peace. He said, "Peace I leave with you." And not peace like the world gives, but peace that passes all understanding. Peace that can't be shaken. Love that never fails. Unconditional love is who God is. And that's what he gives us. That's what he promises us. And he delivers every single time. So I hope this message has been a blessing to you today. I hope you got something out of it. I hope it stays in your mind, the fact that Jesus, his journey and his life didn't stop there on the cross. You see a lot of crosses this time of year specifically, and they'll show a cross with the body on it, some man. We don't know what that image is, but he's no longer on the cross. I'm sorry. He rose again. He's alive. Jesus is alive, and he lives in each and every one of us when we accept him into our hearts. He lives in us. And we are heirs to the kingdom of God. Everything that he has belongs to us when we make him our Lord and our Christ and our King. So again, I hope something I said was a blessing to you. And I hope you'll read my book. All the stuff I keep talking about to y'all, is a lot of it's in my book. Now, this part I'm talking about, the last sayings, that was not there, because that's often something that people don't really address this time of year. They just talk about the last sayings on the cross. They don't mention the stuff that happened and the things that he said, specifically the things that he said after the resurrection, before he ascended. So those things are important too, right? But I want y'all to get my book, because I talk about Jesus quite a bit in there. If you want to know who Jesus is, if you want to know what love is really all about, what it feels like, sounds like, acts like, talks like, and all those types of things, and you want to experience what that's like, you want to hear some beautiful love stories, you want to check and make sure that you're operating in love, the God kind of love, read my book. It lays it all out, and it's saying it in the words of Christ. It's sharing it from the perspective of God. And it's not to say that we're perfect, that I'm perfect because I wrote it. I'm writing from God's perspective. And as well as my own experience and the experience of others, those who've been married for 20 plus years, you hear their love stories in there. You hear them talk about their journey with God and with each other, how they knew they were Mr. and Mrs. Right. So it's a lot of stuff in there to show you about love and to make sure that you're walking in love the correct way, that you're operating in the God kind of love, and that those in your life are operating in the God kind of love. So I hope you'll enjoy it this month. I've done at least 2 or 3 days of freebies, where I was allowing you all to get a copy of my book on Amazon for free, the ebook version of it. So if you had noticed, you may have noticed, I told some of you about it, and then some of you may have shared about it to your friends. The book was actually free at least 2 or 3 days this month. So I hope you all got a copy. If you didn't get a chance to get it during the free promotion, you can still get the paperback from Amazon.com. The name of the book is Love Check, How Do You Measure Up? Wonderful book. I'm still getting rave reviews about it, and it's such a blessing to me because I love to hear how it's impacting people's lives. I'm loving to hear how it's transforming people's hearts. It did it for me. I'm constantly learning from it. I know I wrote the book from divine inspiration, but it blesses me. It helps me in my daily walk. It helps me to correct how I talk to people, how I handle people, how I respond. It helps me to see myself through the eyes of love, through the eyes of God. And I hope I've been a blessing, and hope people have seen a change in me, because that thing changes you. The Word of God changes you. The Spirit of God changes you. And so I think if we all, get our love walk in check, our attitude and the way we treat people and all that stuff in check, and the way we love in check, we keep it in check, there'll be better relationships. This will be a better world. We'll get along better. relationships will thrive and people will be happier. The world will be a much better place. So yeah, check it out. Amazon.com. Again, Love Check, How Do You Measure Up? By Melanie D. West. Till next time, have a beautiful, blessed, and productive day. God bless you all. Bye-bye. If you'd like to be featured on this podcast, please hit me up at MelanieD.TheAuthor@yahoo.com. That's Melanie D, the letter D, TheAuthor@yahoo.com, or on my website at www.MelanieD.TheAuthor.com. Thank you so much for listening. Have a beautiful and blessed day.